amazing Kate Casey. Welcome back to another episode of Reality Life with Kate Casey. Hope that you guys have had a great week, and of course hope that you've seen some great TV this week. This past weekend, I went to a birthday party at my girlfriend's house for her twin boys. What makes this interesting is that my girlfriend is the new Real Housewife of Orange County. Now, that season doesn't begin airing until July, but this birthday party was filmed for the show. So, of course, in the editing room, you don't even know if this is even going to make it to air. But I wanted to tell you about what happened at the party, because I think sometimes people think, I could be a Real Housewife, but I'm not sure it's for everybody, and here's why. Okay, number one, would you really want your child's birthday party to be filmed? It seems like a lot of work. She had the most over-the-top party. It was a Greatest Showman theme, and she had ATVs, a magician, candy corn, popcorn, bouncy houses, a dunk tank, trampolines, face paint, a bar, a taco bar, and then a whole other bar of food. And there were a bunch of people there. I'm assuming the kids' classmates, friends in the neighborhood. There was barely any parking in the neighborhood. And then add to that, when you show up to the party, you have to fill out a form that allows you to be filmed and your picture taken. So ask yourself if the people that you invite to your kids' parties would really be open to that. There's a big sign on the door just to give you a heads up. This is being filmed for TV. I'm sure a bunch of your friends would be like, I'm out. Like, listen, I love your kids. Totally thrilled about the anniversary of their birth. But you know what? I'm out. So that's number one. Number two, you'd feel a little bit of pressure to have a pretty great party. I am just telling you, I would not have a party that would be worthy of TV. Like, my son's last birthday party was at a park and I got some reptiles. Barely would blow anyone's hair back. So there's one thing. Also, a lot of the guests dressed in the theme party attire. So I feel like I was not an ideal person for the party, because there were people that were dressed up as ringmasters. There was one guy that was dressed in like a gown with a wig. And I just don't feel like I put my full effort into it. So I'm sure the people that will be included in coverage are the people that dressed up for the party with the appropriate attire. Also, they're filming the entire time. So it's, if you're a guest at a party, you're not really talking to them because they're busy. So if you show up to the party and you don't know anyone except for the person that threw the party for you, you would probably have a pretty boring time, especially since your guest that you brought along is, you know, a six-year-old, and they really honestly don't want to kick back and have a cocktail with you. Also, there's a real specific spouse that's willing to do this. And it actually made me rethink Jim Edmonds, because every time I watched him in scenes with his wife, Megan, I felt like he hated her and maybe hated the show too. And I realized it's because he just wasn't amped about doing scenes. Because at the end of the party, they had my friend and her husband kind of like reflect on the party while camera crews are filming them. And I was just thinking about my own spouse. Like, I can barely get him to take a picture for me, especially with my kids, let alone agree to talk about how we feel about a birthday party that we just threw for national television. Like, the producer, if he came over and said, listen, Dan, can you and Kate just go over and talk about, you know, what a whirlwind it's been for the last 6 years to see your child grow from that small baby in a hospital bed to, or hospital room, into the child that they are now, full of life and joy and pride. And my husband would be like, listen, screw off. I got to go watch Wimbledon, or I got a board meeting I got to prepare for, or I got to go to the bathroom. I don't know. My husband would not be amped for that. So I want you to think about the people in your life. Would they be willing to be filmed for TV? Would you be willing to throw an over-the-top party that would look great on TV? Would you be willing to dress up in a theme? Would you be willing to have your spouse go over things on camera? Oh, another thing, would you be willing to rehash issues with people that aren't super close friends with you? Because I felt like I could overhear conversations and they were talking about things that happened like 2 or 3 months ago. I'm the kind of person that, like, once I'm upset about something and I talk it out, I'm really done with it. I don't need to go back to it. And I feel like that's what they do the entire season. So I think I would be terrible at that. So think about yourself. Would you want to just be rehashing issues again and again and again? Oh, and one other thing, one of the housewives at the party partaked in the face painting, and she had a full a lion spray painted on her face. So add to that rehashing old issues and having some emotional distress while talking to somebody or arguing with someone, for that matter, with a full lion spray painted face. And would you be able to withstand yourself or withstand the situation? Because it was just wild to watch, I'll put it that way. So if you ever think to yourself, I think I could do a TV show, go back to this interview and think about whether or not you have the goods to do it. This week's episode I'm so excited about. I know that you guys love behind the scenes interviews, and I do too. I got a chance to talk to Kimberly Goodman. She's a veteran showrunner and producer, and goes behind the scenes and talks about one of my favorite shows of this year, which was Selling Sunset, which is about real estate agents who work on the Sunset Strip who wear very tight dresses and obscenely high heels to construction sites. She also worked on Ladies of London on Bravo and Married at First Sight, which is on Lifetime. And then I talked to Hannah Berner. She's a cast member on Bravo's Summer House this season. And then Doris Basuto from Mexican Dynasties on Bravo, which if you have not seen that show, listen, go to the Bravo website right now and watch all the episodes. Go to your TV and record all the episodes and just bang them out in a weekend. I'm telling you, you are going to love this show. So here we go. You guys know I'm crazy about Audible because it offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Audible really is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment, with female writers and heroines, celebrity narration, multicast productions with immersive sound design, and traditional audiobooks. Audible has you covered for any type of excitement that you're looking for. In fact, right now I'm listening to The Second Husband by Kate White. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. That's audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. Kimberly Goodman is a showrunner for two of your most favorite shows, especially this year, Married at First Sight and also Selling Sunset, which you guys know I'm obsessed with. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm great. Tell me about this gem of a show, Selling Sunset. How did you get involved? And tell us a little bit more about how this show was created.
Well, it came from the mastermind of Adam DeVillo, who's from The Hills. And I got a call last summer asking if I was available. And I was in Philly actually working a little bit on Married at First Sight. I was just getting them going. And we had a meeting. And the next thing I know, I am out in the Sunset Hills with the twin brothers and all those amazing women that you guys are watching now. From what I understand, Adam was Adam and Skylar, his right-hand development guy. They were looking through some real estate magazines because Adam is obsessed with real estate and all of that, and came across these two twin brothers and realized that they have a staff full of these gorgeous women. He's like, oh my God, that could be an amazing show. And then he went and met with them, and I think it was a pretty long process to get everything, you know, get everybody on board and all of that. But they went and met, and next thing you know, we have an amazing show.
All of these real estate agents, had they been working for a while? Because when you watch a show, you have to ask yourself, or at least I think I know that most of the people that watch the show think, are these people really real estate agents? Because they look like they are actors or models or later stage models. I don't know. Like, they look like they've been in the entertainment industry.
That's funny. Later stage models. No, you know what? They are all gorgeous. And yes, they are all very hardworking real estate agents. Chriselle, as you saw and were watching the show, she is the newest to real estate and the newest to the firm. But yes, they are all legit real estate agents who work their tail off. And it's funny because I've met real estate agents outside of the firm, and I think it's like a prerequisite. All real estate agents have to be either really good looking men or really hot women.
The one thing that I hear a lot of my real estate agents' friends say is that they're baffled that some of them will show up to the construction sites in like 4-inch heels. Is this how they always dress? Or please tell me they once in a while show up in like yoga clothes.
They do. They're actually very real people, and they do wear jeans and heels, or they wear yoga clothes, and they eat fast food. Some of them do. So they're not like these
robots.
Perfect things. Yeah, they're not that at all. Obviously, you know, when we're filming a television show, everybody wants to put their best foot forward. And when they're selling and they're meeting with clients, they obviously want to do the same too. So they dress up for it, and it's part of their brand. They are, you know, they're selling luxury multi-million-dollar homes, and they are representative of that.
Does Christine really take clients out for shots? Is that like a typical thing? I couldn't believe that watching either. Like, am I living on another planet? I feel like my real estate agent will take me out for like a sandwich.
I think that was a special case, because the gal was trying to, you know, figure out which person to work with. Plus the fact she's young, and I think it was more like, let's get girlfriends together and have some drinks and have some fun and kind of like get to know each other on a personal level. So I think it was more of that, but I don't think that's a normal thing that she does.
It's so funny, because that was a big swing and a miss. That girl was like, this is not my jam. I want to just walk my dog around the park. How long did filming take place?
It was about, let me see. I'm sorry, I'm doing the math in my head. I think like 3 months. 2.5 to 3 months.
And how long ago was this? Was this recently filmed or a while ago?
Yeah, no, it was this past August, or actually July, August, September.
Was it difficult to get Chrishell to agree to do the show? Because I know that she has this soap opera background. And then, of course, she's married to this celebrity. Was it hard to convince her to do the show?
That I don't know all the ins and outs. I wasn't involved with that. She was already on board when I came on board. So I think it's, but I didn't hear anything like, oh my God, it was so hard to get her. I think, you know, there was probably a lot of conversations back and forth with her and Adam and the network. And, you know, I'm sure she wanted to feel comfortable, because it is like for all of these women and the brothers, you know, they're putting themselves out there in the public eye. So I'm sure it wasn't, hey, Chrishell, do you want to do this? And it's like, oh yeah, no problem. I think there was probably a lot of conversation that had before she decided to do it.
People want to know, did that $40 million property ever get sold?
I have not heard that it's been sold yet. I don't even know if it's finished. I haven't been back up there since filming, and that I will have to find that out, but I don't think it's sold. I think I would have known if it did. I think I would have heard if it did sell.
Of those cast members or within that real estate agency, who sells the most real estate?
I don't know the exact like number wise, but my guess would be it's between Mary and Maya.
Oh, okay. And I got the sense that Mary sells larger homes and Maya sells more lower priced homes in the valley. Am I reading that wrong?
No, but I think Maya does a lot. Maya does a lot more. She's so funny. She's a great person and human. But she will sell. She doesn't care like this. She doesn't just focus on the big, large houses like the other woman does. So you are correct in that. But I think she does. I think she does the gamut.
And then the friend of Heather's, the one with the really bright teeth and the spray tan. Was he a child actor? I feel like I've seen that guy before.
He was, yes, I think he was. And he was an ice skater.
Oh, dear God.
But a figure skater.
Are you kidding me? Wow.
No, I'm not. Yeah, he was a joy. He was funny. Yes.
Why does that not surprise me that he was an ice skater? That's so funny.
I know. What, I know, right?
What about the guy with the flat nose who was pretending he was going to buy the $40 million property that went to high school with Christine? Did we ever hear from him again?
Not in the they're just friends. She ended up not like letting him know that they should just be friends, that he feels more like a brother because there's so much history between the two of them, you know, when you grow up with somebody. So it wasn't, but you don't see him again in the show.
I got the feeling that he wanted to be on television more than invest in a real estate property.
Which is, oh, you did?
I don't. Oh, yeah. Like, there's no way that guy could buy a $40 million home. No way.
Yeah, I don't know about his finances, but I think he was very interested in also just connecting with Christine.
Oh, well, I would say so. Okay, so
yeah,
you were also involved with. And one last thing. People want to know, is there going to be a second season?
We don't know yet. We hope. We're waiting to hear.
Oh, I hope so. I mean, you can't leave me hanging like
I know.
I have too many questions. You have to continue this.
I know.
I think that they need to throw in a male real estate agent just to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they should. That would be interesting.
Have you had anybody from Million Dollar Listing try to get cast for the show?
No. You mean like a real estate agent?
Yeah. Like Madison Hildebrandt's like, well, now that I'm not on Million Dollar Listing in Los Angeles, maybe I could weasel my way onto Selling Sunset.
No, that hasn't happened. Not to my knowledge. And not during. And I think also maybe now that it's aired and I think we're getting some good feedback and success from it. I think the show is doing well. But so maybe now, but before, no, because everyone's like, well, what is this, another real estate show? They didn't really know what it was.
Now, you were also involved with Ladies in London. Ladies of London was a great show. You were involved with the first season. So my
correct.
My big question is, did you live in fear that Caroline Stanbury might stab you in the middle of the night?
No, you know, it's so funny. I love Caroline. She is who she is. I mean, I love her because she will tell you like it is. But she is working with her from on a working professional standpoint. She's a pro and she's great to work with and she's very easy and she's very transparent. She was one of my favorites to work with. It was because I have to say, going over to London, and dealing with, these women, high society, you know, Brits, it's intimidating. And some of them can be very very hard to deal with. And when I very first met Caroline, it was a little bit like, oh my God, what have I gotten myself into? And then once I got to know her, she was great. And she is, she just says it like, she just says what's in her head. Like there's no filter.
At least
then she laughs about it.
And then at least you know where you stand with her.
Exactly. And you have to appreciate that. Like when you know where you stand with somebody, then you know exactly how to, you know, deal with it. So yeah.
What was the dynamic like then? Because you have these two Americans, Marissa and Juliet, and then you have Caprice, who is what I like to call like Eurasian, somebody who believes themselves a citizen of the world. And she had lived in London for a while, but was clearly still an American. So was there a weird dynamic off screen as much as there was on screen?
Well, Caprice is a different story. That dynamic was probably what, you know, pretty kind of strained off camera. Like there wasn't that much, you know, interaction, I think, off camera with the other women after a certain point. And this is a while ago, so I'm trying to rack my memory. But I think with Marissa and Juliet, like they were friends for a very long time before we even did the show. Like that's, you know, all of them had, there was always a connection between one or more of the women. And so I think really what was going on screen was the same off screen. Like if they had a fight and you watched it, that was the same dynamic off camera. And they were, but I think with those two, they were always trying to like to make amends with each other. And then the dynamic with Caroline and Caprice, that was, yeah, there wasn't too much difference off camera and on camera. I know that Juliet in the beginning, she really, really wanted to be friends with Caroline. And so she was going over and beyond, I think, off camera as well.
So then you also have been the showrunner for Married at First Sight. So what did you think of the premise when you first got the job? Like, is this possible that a couple could marry in this situation?
You know what's funny? Because I do love this show. I was working at the company on a different show and when first season was airing and it was like going gangbusters and I was watching it as a fan because I was like, oh my God, this is really great. It's so authentic and it's so interesting. So I didn't have an issue with the premise. I thought, because there's a lot of shows out there and that I've been a part of that I'm like, oh my God, what are we doing now? Kind of a moment. And then this show, I felt like, you know what? It's the modern day version of arranged marriage. And if people are, you know, going online and trying to find love that way or hiring people to match them up, then why not have like three experts go through this extensive matchmaking process and find it? I mean, I think it's really scary. It's kind of, am I allowed to cuss on this?
Sure.
On this
thing? Absolutely.
Kind of a mind, excuse my language, it's kind of a mind fuck when you're watching someone go dress shopping or tuxedo shopping and having bachelor parties and all of this, when they have no idea who they're marrying, like at all. So when I think of it in that way, it's kind of like, oh my God, what are they doing? And what are we doing? But then when you're in it and you're like, okay, they really want love. And you kind of fall into that mode of like, this is amazing. And when you watch them walk down the aisle, you're like waiting and biting your nails going, are they going to actually like each other? Are they going to, you know, are we going to have a runner? Like all of those thoughts go through your mind. And then once they like you can see the initial attraction or non-attraction or the way they smile and all of that. And you're like, yay, maybe this is going to work. So I don't know. It's one of those moments where, I mean, it's one of those things where in the beginning, I thought this is really cool because I was watching the show and then once I was in it, it was one of those back and forth, like, oh my God, what are they doing? And then this is amazing feeling when you see people connect.
I always got the feeling that the second season, it was put together quickly off of the success of the first season. I remember there was a couple, Jessica and Ryan, and it turned out to be a disaster. What do you think happened between those two? I mean, he was a shady person, to say the least.
Yeah, that was the season. That was a tough season. Obviously, whoever does a reality show on some level wants to be on TV. But when you actually are marrying someone, a legal marriage, you think, do you really want to be on TV that bad? So then you really believe they really want to find love and get married and all of that. And so I think with this particular couple, there was both, but I think people go in to doing this experiment with the expectation of you're going to find my perfect one and it's going to be amazing and we're going to live happily ever after. And any issues that I have are all going to go away and any issues that they had are all going to go away. And then all of a sudden you're faced with a real person that actually has issues and your issues and they just don't know how to navigate. And I don't think that they were very good communicators. So it just kind of continually, like slowly started imploding on them because they weren't talking and their expectations were through the roof for what they wanted and what their idea of a wife and husband was. Does that make sense?
It does, but the story came out later that he was using drugs. So was there a frustration on your part? Because obviously you can't control somebody and what they're doing. So he was being dishonest about who he was. Do you kind of like, how do you mitigate that disaster? Because like I said, it's kind of, that part is out of your control.
That, yes. And I don't remember him, you know, cause we're with them a lot. Like we're with them 6 days a week, 5 to 6 days a week. I don't remember him doing doing drugs. You know, I think with every season that we did and that they are continually doing, the backgrounds, I mean, there's things that you just can't control. And I think that frustration is, I mean, that's a hard thing to find, especially when someone's hiding it, or if he's not doing it and then decides to do it later, that's, you know, I don't know that one. Cause I don't remember him doing drugs. Did that come out from him or from her? Cause I know that there was a lot of stuff flying around that were, that were not true accusations or things.
She said that.
Yeah. Like there was, she said that. Yeah. I really honestly don't believe that he was doing any kind of, hardcore drugs. And that was never, I don't even remember that, but I know that after that season, and it's been a while, there were a lot of things, a lot of untruths and a lot of lies flying around because she just wanted to tear him down, you know? So I don't even know if that is really, really true, but in terms of like other stuff that comes up with couples, you know, out after we wrap filming, it is a frustration. It's hard because it's just humans being humans, and whatever stuff that they hid from us or kept from us, and it didn't come up in any of the testing and whatnot. It's always one of those unfortunate things that can occur, and you hope that it doesn't. And we learn from every season to try to figure out these things ahead of time, so that way we don't marry them if someone's a abuser of drugs or, you know, have some sort of addiction problem.
Was there any couple that you were surprised they didn't work out? Like you were convinced this is a match made in heaven?
That is a good question. There were two couples. They're in season 3, Vanessa and Trey. Do you remember them?
I was so sad that didn't work out.
We all were very sad. And this is when I always say that people go in with expectations and they want someone to like live in the box that is their expectation. I think that's what was happening, because they would have been great if they would have just gotten out of their own way, you know what I mean? And really like listened to the guidance. Cause I was really bummed about that. I thought they would have been a great couple and had, you know, a beautiful family and all that. And the other one that I was disappointed in that didn't make it was, Dave and Amber from Dallas. I know, which I think people probably don't, and I'm talking from a different perspective because, you know, I would see them, and their journey, you know, throughout the process was, even though her insecurities were so heightened, and that was, you know, I think they ended up, there was a lot of things that ended up not working out. But when they were at their best, they were so adorable and fun and really like understanding of each other. And you thought if you could just live in that space and grow from there instead of reverting back to the other stuff, they would have been, I think, would have been a great couple.
Were you surprised that Jonathan ended up having a relationship with Dr. Jessica? Like the way that the love story kind of bled to behind the scenes, were you surprised by that?
Yes, I was surprised. I did not work on the season that Jonathan was on. But yes, I was very, very surprised.
I was not surprised. I thought that I'm like, it's inevitable. If she's single and she's interviewing all of these people all day long, if it was like a true cast member like Jonathan, like completely put himself out there, he's in a vulnerable position and he's looking for love. It was inevitable to me that that was going to happen at some point. Not, you know, I didn't know if it was going to be him. I'm just saying love between one of the matchmakers and a cast member, I thought it's not a shock to me. No way.
Yeah.
But it's,
that's funny.
I think it's great he found love. I mean, if that girl Molly wasn't a match for him, why not?
Right. Well, no, exactly. And I think I was just surprised just because of the role that she played. And also, I don't know him and I've never met him. So that's probably also where some of my surprise came in. But then when hearing the backstory, it all makes sense. And I adore Dr. Jessica. I think she's great. And if she's happy and found love, then I'm thrilled for her for that. Yeah.
Are there any behind the scenes stories, or is there anything that you would love people to know about putting together Married at First Sight that we would love to know?
Well, I know once people there really is a extensive matchmaking process. It's not a quote unquote casting. The experts that come in really do take it seriously, and they really want these people to find love. So it's, so that is real and the marriages are real. And I think, it's a hard process. I think it's, you know, people want to find love and they're willing to go to, you know, to whatever extent it takes for them or what makes sense for them.
What's the craziest thing that happened at one of these weddings?
Oh, well, there's some things I can't talk about now. There has been some unruly guests that, were not supportive of the marriage happening. But I think that my favorite moment, because you don't get this very often, is when you had, with Nate and Sheila, and his mom was not supportive of this and did not want this to happen. And Evan, oh my God. But being there, witnessing that and seeing the two women and sit down and talk, I was like, holy cow. And her dad, his speech, which, kind of took me back a little bit, cause he was very much like, you know, not always politically correct in his speech. And, so it was the dynamics of the parents and that wedding where I was like, cause me personally, like, I love going to weddings and I love those awkward speeches and I love those awkward moments because that's when families come together that haven't been together forever and, you know, all sorts of things. So I just love being a fly in the wall in real life and in my work. And so that wedding, because it had all of that happening, was like, holy cow. And at one point we were like, do we need to get security? Is his, you know, or, you know, quit making those questions, just because, Nate's dad, was defending himself, but in his very bravado way, where we're like, is this going to get out of control? But it was, yeah, between Sheila and his mom and the dads, it was one of those, intense weddings where you're just kind of like, get the popcorn bowl and let's just see what happens.
Well, in fairness to them, like, what kind of speech are you supposed to give? Like, I'm giving my daughter's hand in marriage to a total stranger. And by the way, I'm looking at your side of the aisle and you all look like nutbags. I mean, that's probably a pretty hard thing to do. Where can people find you?
People can find me on, for my Instagram, it's Limberly G. And for Twitter, it's Hope Kimberly, at Hope Kimberly.
With four daughters and two on a dance team, I can tell you we go through a lot of mascara in my house. But I'm crazy about L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara, which catches every lash from corner to corner for maximum volume. If you're looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank, this is yours. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. I've been using it for about 2 weeks now, and I feel like my eye has completely opened up, and the girls are crazy about it too. They've got a tapered brush to catch every lash, one of the best mascara wands that I've ever used. And like I said, this luxe appearance of this gold package, you gotta get it. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today. L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara, you're gonna love it. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way that you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman, and they pass the savings on to us. So I just got a 100% organic cotton tiered maxi skirt in red and a chiffon pleated midi skirt in soft pink. Now I'm going to wear both of them with either a white scoop t-shirt or a black tank top. In fact, wait, should we all get the same outfit and meet for drinks? Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/KateCasey for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/KateCasey to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/KateCasey. Summer House follows a group of 9 friends. This season on Summer House, newly single Hannah has 2 things in mind, having fun and avoiding a relationship. And I am very happy to tell you that I've tracked her down. Hannah, welcome to the show. Give us the background. I know you're from Brooklyn. I know that you played competitive mm-hmm. tennis. I know mm-hmm. that you worked as a video producer. Give me the rundown.
Okay, I'll give you my life rundown. Yeah, born in Brooklyn, New York. I like played tennis a lot growing up. I went to University of Wisconsin where I played tennis there. Then I decided I want to see what else I can do in life. So I took a desk job doing sales, which was depressing, cried in the bathroom a lot, then took a job in marketing. And I was like, I just want to go and do video. Something in my heart was like, I want to do video. I did some sports broadcasting in college. And then I submitted a funny video to Betches and they let me freelance with them. And next thing you know, they hired me full time. My job was to write, to edit, to produce these 1-minute funny videos. And then I started a podcast called Burning in Hell, which is a mental health comedy podcast. And then Summer House opportunity came up because I'm from New York. I've always gone out to the East Side. I mean, out East in Long Island to have fun, but more with my family. I play golf, tennis. I feel like people think I'm like the cool New York City fun girl, but I actually like hate people and love spending time alone with my cat. So this was a fun summer for me getting out of my comfort zone. Like I'm not even looking forward to brunch later because I like napping, but it is important to socialize. That's what my therapist told me. This is my first reality TV experience. We're 6 weeks in and it's been a roller coaster, but I'm happy to talk shit about it with you.
So how many of these people did you know before you packed up your suitcases and moved into this house?
Great question. Jordan Veroy actually got me my job at Betches and we'd known each other for like 2 years. Paige, I'd known because she would write and freelance at Betches. So I'd see her around whenever I saw her. We always like hit it off, but we weren't like hanging out ever. I had interviewed Carl Radke and Stephen McGee for Betches the season before. And then I'd seen like Lindsay and Amanda at just some like social events in the city. So I was like, my name was thrown around, I think, in casting just because people like knew me, but I wasn't like close with anyone, but I was acquaintances.
So during this period of time, give me the scoop, when the Summer House cast would walk into an event, okay, mm-hmm. did they walk in with their heads high, like, move over, bitches, Summer House just walked into town?
Which time period?
Before you were cast.
Oh.
So you're in the sidelines and you're witness to this. I just want to get...
Yeah, because I was like press. I was at Betches. So, I mean, we'd see Summer House come in and they were like kind of the newest show. Honestly, I would just kind of roll my eyes like I didn't watch it or know about it. And I was like, oh, the fucking Summer House people are here.
So funny.
It was just like, yeah, but they also like, I don't come from like money, like New York City money. I'm like, my mom's a teacher, my dad's in sales, like, and I don't like that whole elitist Hamptons vibe. And so I just kind of thought they were a bunch of like kind of spoiled kids who, so I kind of had what I think America thought about Summer House to begin with, like the first 2 seasons. So yeah, I wasn't like in love with them, but I got along with Carl and Lindsay was like kind of nice to me. She's not the warmest.
So, okay. Let's run down a bunch of questions. You ready?
Let's do it.
Okay. Let's talk about Jordan. Is he kidding us that he's that sexually active?
Yeah, he's not that sexually active at all. I mean, when anyone brags about with like detailed stories of their sexual escapades, it's normally a lie. I think he was very aware that he was going to be on TV and he was trying to construct a certain like story for himself, but it's hard to do a story on reality TV without evidence. I think America is very smart. I think Bravo listeners are very smart. They read him immediately in terms of his bullshit. But I have a pretty big confrontation with him towards the end because I'm his friend. And like he started, I felt like if I didn't say something to him, it was starting to make me look like I was supporting his lies.
Right.
And so I don't know if you get like the full story, but we get somewhere.
Okay. Why is Lindsay so obsessed with what you're wearing?
Yeah, I actually like I played tennis for the boys team in high school. And like I always was raised very like my parents cared about me being like kind and like hardworking and like calling they weren't calling me a pretty princess. Like my priorities were like if I was winning in tennis, I'm doing well in school. And like, yeah, I'm fucked up in other ways where like tennis was attached to my ego. But like me looking like a pretty princess was not a priority to me. And like my looks, I don't hold close to like my ego. I always just try to be comfortable with who I am. And Lindsay came in this season with like a whole new look. And clearly she puts a lot into how she physically like looks. And maybe she's uncomfortable with herself. And I think she didn't like how I was handling myself. And I think it had to be addressed because it was annoying the shit out of me.
I'm glad you
said
something.
And like you only see so much of it.
How in the world can you guys stay up that late and drink that much? Are you worried about carbohydrates? Are you worried about skin elasticity? How is it possible? I don't understand.
Honestly, I've been detoxing all winter because of the trauma I put my body through. I'm not a good partier. Like I'm known with my friends to be a bad drinker. I'm a great eater, terrible drinker.
Are you guys at all worried that the people that you hook up with on the show, it will live in infamy? It will live in syndication in countries, in other places of the world. So you are will constantly be attached to that weirdo that you made out with in the summer house. Does that bother you, worry you at all?
I think people hook up and I don't mind if like I made out with some whatever dude. I'm more, it's like when you're performing and there's like tons of people, but you just care about like the one person watching. I think of like all the editors who are like watching all the footage. That's why I was like, I don't want to walk around with my tits out because like I don't want 60 people who work for Bravo watching all the footage of me or like me having sex with a guy. So I was thinking of that. I'm currently seeing British Dave on the show and like I was excited to be with him on TV. He was pretty scared about the whole thing, but you have to make quality decisions of who you're going to be with on TV. But at the end of the day, no one's getting married. We're all having fun. I mean, except for Kyle and Amanda.
Do you think that if they took a black light at night, that there would be body fluids all over the floor and the walls?
Oh my God. Probably just in Jordan's room from him masturbating to his church sermons. Just kidding. Just kidding. I think Danielle has the most fun, to be honest. Danielle.
Good Lord.
she had a good time this season.
Wow. Okay. What
Carl, not so much.
Carl, I can't with Carl. Does he really like Paige or just does he want to have something to talk about on this TV show?
Well, that's, I think, what Paige was being mature about, was being like, okay, you're saying you like me, but for me to make sure you're not bullshitting me, I have to see some action. And like, if a guy didn't text you all week and then at the house
see
him on the weekend that he's forced to be at is all over you, you'd be like, okay buddy. And that's what she did. I don't know, I'm not even biased, I love them both, but Carl's in the wrong.
I don't know if I could move forward in a relationship with someone who likes to wear pants that never are past his ankles. Do you know what I mean? Like they're always a little bit too short. It makes me question every other decision he makes in life.
Every time he moves, you're like, there's a 90% chance it's going to rip. So I think it's fun. You're like, what's going to happen? And he always wears white too. And then to the night, if he had a rough night, it's just like all this crap on it. He has an interesting fashion pant game.
Interesting.
It takes balls. And he's 6'5". Like, they're in your face.
Wait a minute. Like, he's hiding in the corner. Wait a minute. He's 6'5", and he wears white jeans?
Yeah, it's a lot.
Who cleans this house? Are you guys, like, are you guys cleaning this during, like, clearly there's a cleaning crew that comes once a week, but you guys have all those people over. There's got to be a couple people that, like, yeah, throw up on the floor. If that happens,
yeah, honestly,
you have to clean that up?
Kate, I signed up for fun, and, like, being on a reality TV show, like, you're making everything happen, and they're like, this is your house, you're partying. We'd have to set up all the parties, then they'd be like, oh, clean up time, and we'd have to clean up the whole party. I'm like, and then Kyle and I would get in fights because he'd be like, you're not cleaning up enough. And I'm like, sorry, I was the fun of the party. What value do you bring to that while you were drunk in the corner putting your wig on? So, like, yeah, we have to clean. I think for, like, really gross things, like, some girl, like, threw up all over Jordan's sink once.
Oh, my God.
I think someone else cleaned it. But, like, we have to do majority of the cleaning. But then when we leave at the end of the weekend and we come back, like, the house is, there's, like, someone who cleans it. But we do the majority of the cleaning. And I wasn't happy about it. Not happy.
So if there's a party,
most of it is, like, someone else's friend.
Oh, of course. Do they come to you, yeah, in the beginning of the season and say, come up with six party themes and then make a run to Party City and pick out what you want? Or do you show up and they say, the theme of this weekend is Mad Hatter and here are the props?
It's actually a combination. Well, because we'll talk about it. We'll be like, we're going to have a party this weekend. This is the idea thrown around. Do you guys like it? And then if we like it, we have to get the shit. Like, we do it all. I, like, say it in an angry way because, like, I don't like theme parties. I think they're corny. I don't like dressing up. I just want to be drunk in the hot tub.
Right.
That's all I want.
Right. Paige, her parents pay for her apartment. Is this someone you would be friends with off the TV show?
Well, I think that's the fascinating thing about me and Paige. Like, when I first met her, I was like, we're clearly very different people. And, like, she loves fashion and she's very girly. And but she has this, like, sense of humor to her that she's kind of self-aware. And that's why I started to like her. Like, she'll make fun of her being spoiled and stuff. And I think because we're different, she fascinated me. And we both come from, like, an Italian family. And we had some things that bonded us emotionally. But me and Paige are very different. I think sometimes you need that friend who's different than you. And also, like, her dad gets the Ubers a lot, so I'm down for that.
Okay. Now, people at the parties, are they extras or are they your real friends?
Oh, my God. That's the hardest part. They're our real friends. So, like, we have to wrangle people. Like, this isn't a TV show where it's like, okay, now everyone's here, let's party. We literally produce it. So, like, our friends really came through this summer. And, like, it's fun, but then some of our friends are like, I don't want to be on TV. And I'm like, you're not going to be on TV. Like, and they're like, well, we'll get fired from our job. I'm like, you won't be fired from your job. The camera won't even go near you. Don't worry. So I have this conversation with so many people. I'm like, just come. We need bodies.
What do you want people to know about you that is not being covered on the show and that you're watching the show and you're like, good Christ, if people just knew this about me, I would be much happier.
It's funny. I think I'm coming off pretty authentic to myself to an extent. This episode coming up I don't know what this Monday date is, but you get to see a little more of my family and my relationship with my dad. I think everyone has daddy issues, but, like, the media tries to make it look very simple, like, she's daddy's girl, she didn't get enough attention, so now she's acting out. With me, like, my dad was my coach, so we have, like, some complex deep shit going on, and he's also, like, my best friend. I think I wanted to use the show as a way to not just, like, show off that I'm on a big platform, but instead use my platform to show that, like, just because I'm on TV doesn't mean I'm not extremely insecure about some things. I deal with anxiety. I've been depressed. I've had terrible breakups. I make stupid decisions. Even though I come off really funny on social media, sometimes I could be really boring and not funny. I just kind of want to use it to show some, like, realness on reality, yeah. If that makes any sense. And I do have
the comedy mental health podcast Burning in Hell, which I started because I feel like there's so much showing off going on. And what I love to do is kind of get to the nitty gritty with people about what their demons are. Like, you know, I've dealt with anxiety and depression in the past. And I think learning to be yourself through all the bullshit is what makes you happy. And yourself is not perfect. And it's coming to terms with talking to yourself in a nice way. The one thing that I do to cope, I do think that I learned that the voice in my head isn't always right. Right. And like the voice in your head that's telling you negative things could be like a parent when you were younger, or like, you know, someone who was mean to you in your past, a bully. And it's just like a mean roommate. And once you learn that, like, you can control and become the master of your own mind, not have your mind master you, like, your life is limitless to what you want to do. Like, your life is controlled by how creative your brain can be, in terms of like, if I didn't even think like I want to do video and I was too scared to do it, I would have never been 2 years after having a shitty sales job on a TV show with a podcast, having fun with a platform to be myself. So I think anyone listening, like, listen to what you want and do it. It sounds so simple, but that's how I found, got out of my depression.
That's great. I love that. All right. So where can people, where can people track you down on social media?
You guys can stalk and creep on me at Being Burns on Instagram and Twitter, BeingBerns.
All right. Awesome. Anyone who's had a migraine knows that they're the absolute worst. My friend Christina has to lock herself in her bedroom and black out all the light and just close her eyes and hope to go to sleep. Well, now it's a little easier to treat your migraine from the comfort of your own home thanks to Cove. Cove starts with a simple consultation by a licensed physician, and then the prescription that they determine is best for you is sent directly to your door. So after your consultation, your doctor creates and tailors your individual course of treatment. Cove then reaches out a few weeks after to see how you're feeling. Cove breaks down everything you need to know about migraines and migraine treatment. A doctor who is licensed to practice medicine in the state you live in will be the one who prescribes your monthly medication and oversees your progress. All migraine medication is prescribed by the doctors at Cove and is FDA approved. If you suffer from migraines, the last thing you need is to have to wait to see your doctor. With Cove, there's finally a way to get the help you need when you need it. And when you use my special link, you'll get your first month of treatment for free. So go to withcove.com/reality. That's withcove.com/reality. withcove.com/reality. Everyone has a family member who always tells the best stories, like when you first moved into a neighborhood, or the best vacations that you took, or what the holidays were like. Well, not only does StoryWorth preserve these narratives so future generations can enjoy them, but it also brings families together every week as they get to know each other better. So StoryWorth was founded by a guy who wanted his dad to record his amazing stories. The family enjoyed the process so much that they launched in April of 2013 so that families around the world can share in this gift as well. It's really a fantastic idea because every week you're getting prompted with questions. And then at the end of the year, they compile all of your answers into the most beautiful hardcover printed book. You are going to love it. And it's a great gift for Mother's Day. Think of all the stories that your parents can compile into a book. It really is the most special, sensitive, really heartwarming gift that you can give someone. The data is secure and everything is private by default, so you can control who sees your stories. So for $20 off, visit storyworth.com/reality. Again, for $20 off, visit storyworth.com/reality. Doris Basuto, Mexican Dynasty, is probably one of my top three favorite shows thus far this year. What a whirlwind.
Wow.
Can you believe the success of the show?
Oh my God. First of all, thank you so much for saying that. I really appreciate it. Yes, the response has been phenomenal. People are so happy that, you know, they're able to see Mexico and Mexicans in a different light, really having fun and, you know, showcasing how much importance we give to family and friends and kids and, you know, multi-generational. And it's just a really fun show, mostly drama-free. So it's great. I'm really, so really funny. Happy.
It's so funny. And I there are at least
it's funny.
Four times this season where I thought to myself, I know that I'm a grown woman with children, but do you think Oscar Madrazo would adopt me?
Yeah, I know. We all want to be adopted by Oscar Madrazo, but the next best thing is to be his best friend, right? Because he's the most caring and warm. You know what? What you see is what you get, and he's just a lovely human being. All the madrazos are incredibly lovely human beings, I have to say.
So tell me from the beginning, how did you get cast for the show? I know that you're related to Kyle Richards, so give me the scoop.
Well, funny enough, that really had nothing to do. When I spoke to Kyle, I had already been cast, and she was like super excited, and she kind of said, oh my God, get ready for a crazy ride. Just, you know, follow your heart and be honest and be truthful and just go with it. I had heard that they were looking for, you know, prominent families, Mexican families in Mexico, and, you know, families that were friends for, you know, for a long time. And funny enough, I was approached here in Los Angeles, where I live in Beverly Hills, and my mom was approached in Mexico. And, you know, what sold me and what really my mom and I, when we said, yes, we're going to do it, is when they explained that they were going to really showcase Mexico City and that Mexico City was going to be the star. You know, my mom always loved to be in front of the camera, so she was an easy sell. I was a little bit harder because, you know, I'm more private and my family and this and that. But the minute they met us together and they saw, you know, our relationship and our dynamic, they loved us and we went for it.
So beyond the two of you, what is the makeup of the family? How many kids are in the family total?
So I have two kids, a 26 and a 23-year-old, both out of college. One is successful in the entertainment business in the agent. She's going to be an agent soon. And my son just came back from being a year in Thailand teaching English to underprivileged Thai kids. And right now he's either going to go into immigration law or do some comedy writing. So he's a very special boy. I have a sister and she has three grown children. My sister, who's younger than me, is actually now a grandmother of two. So my mom is a great grandmother, believe it or not. So that's the family on my side. I had a brother who, you know, through the show passed away. So it's now me and my sister and my mom and my two kids and my husband.
And so how long before filming began did your father pass away?
It was a week before. And it was hard, but, you know, we were professionals and we had committed and, you know, production was starting. And, you know, this was all shot in Mexico City. We had a crew of over 100 people all in Mexico City. And, you know, like they say, the show must go on. So in a way, it was difficult, but at the same time, it was very therapeutic and important for my mom and I to be busy during difficult times. And, you know, we did get a bit of criticism, you know, how can you do it? You know, when your husband just passed or your dad just passed. But I think that everybody has a way of grieving, and that's the best way we could do. And, you know, I've learned not to judge. So whatever works for different people.
One of the things that I noticed when you're through your story is a story that many women can relate to was that you have this mother who has been in the entertainment industry in some ways, is known as this, you know, great beauty. So there's such an emphasis on her looks and how that trickles down to the children. And so I love that you were honest about, you know, my mom, for example, tells me I should just eat mango every day. And I'm in her house and there are only photos of herself. And the show is very lighthearted, but it really does have these really poignant moments, which really reflect every kind of family and the complicated lives that we all have. So I wonder, looking at that show, looking at the show now that you've seen it play back, has it given it your mom a different perspective, being able to see things through your eyes now?
It has. It really has. You know, she's always been a stunning, stunning, beautiful woman. And, you know, I remember my friends, and even in elementary and high school, being my friends just to meet my mom. I mean, that was the extent of it. And, you know, I always, to this day, struggle with weight. You know, I go up 10 pounds, I lose 10 pounds. Like, I'm always up and down. I'm never at my weight, because whenever I'm happy, I eat. Whenever I'm sad, I eat. Whenever I'm nervous, I eat. Like, that's like my fault too. And I enjoy it, you know, and she's always been such perfection. And she did put a lot of pressure on me. I remember, you know, she took me to fat camp and I was never going to marry and blah, blah, blah. And I think through the show, she really has noticed, and she's, you know, she's done it less, but she, you know, she can't really help it. You know, every time she sees me, I get the up and down look to see if I gain weight, if I lost weight. And, you know, there's always a little comment the first time she sees me. So, you know, in the moment it does help her, but then she kind of goes back to just the way she knows. You know, I guess it's self-love. She never means wrong, but, you know, she likes perfection, and she wants perfection out of everybody around it, or as close to perfection as somebody can be. So
the other thing,
it is hard.
I was so touched by the story about your brother. Does it make you feel happy that it's like a new, to have people talking about your brother again? Does that just almost like give this like swell of joy, and, you know, just to have people talking about your brother again?
It does so much, because believe it or not, we were never able to talk amongst ourselves, like with my daddy and my mom and my sister and I. We grieved and we cried, and then we didn't really talk about it with each other. So we never really knew how we were just too protective of each other, and we weren't as open in you know, just asking your feelings. And for the first time that we're talking about it, I, you know, my mom is talking about it more to me, and I'm talking about it. And, you know, I don't think my sister has seen the show, to be honest, but so many of my friends that lived, I mean, you have to remember, my parents have always been very important in Mexican society. So when my brother passed away, it was a national news. And thousands and thousands of people came to the burial and to my home. And to be honest, I have blocked that out, because there were so many people. So a lot of people now that lived through that with me, that were in my house, have reached out because of the show, and they said, oh my God, I cried so much during that scene, but it was so incredible to see. Like, it was very cathartic for not only me, but a lot of my very close friends.
Oh, I love that. That's great. And then what does Kyle think of the show?
I haven't asked her yet. She's so busy, but she sends me little texts here and there, like, you're doing amazing, blah, blah, blah. To be honest, I don't even think she's had the time to sit down and watch it, because she even has a hard time being with her kids at this point. She's the busiest woman I know.
Yeah.
Literally so busy. But I've heard from the other housewives, you know, Erica loves it, and I'm so excited, and now she's following me on Twitter. And, you know, I met Teddy because we shot a scene together that really never aired, but we did shoot a scene. And everybody loves it. I mean, it's, what's not to love? It's such a lighthearted, great show.
So good. Okay, so let's talk about Adan, because,
yeah,
boy, does he make me laugh. And I had the pleasure, as you know, of talking to Jenny and Alan, and getting, of course, more scoop. that family is bonkers, but in the most hilarious way. Now, I need to know what it was like filming those scenes, which were obviously real, but like to have a window into their wacky world. Like, just tell me what it's like, because I am dying every time they're on screen.
I mean, you know, you just have to be kind of ready for anything to come out of their mouth, to drama, fun, crying. I mean, the way they talk to each other, they can be laughing 1 second and the next they're basically like yelling at each other and going crazy. I mean, really, what you're looking at in the on TV is not a bit acted. This is just an insane, you know, Adonis, the least self-aware human being, bless his heart, he just goes for it, no filter, whatever he's thinking, no shyness, nothing. And, you know, that's why at the very beginning of the show, I saw this star quality in him that wasn't necessarily singing, but star quality nonetheless. And I wanted to explore it, but obviously without Maddie, because I, to this day, still think that she's a hindrance and an obstacle in his career. But now I realize that's going to be impossible to do.
So sure.
I have stepped back. Yeah.
So because of the show, do we know if he's getting offers to be on a soap opera? I mean, the guy could be an unbelievable salesman.
I know that. I'll tell you, I've gotten approached because people think that I'm managing him and I'm not. And I've gotten approached for offers for him that I immediately call Maddie and turn it over to her. So I'm sure he's getting offers. And by the way, my mom is getting offers too. I can't really tell you, but she's getting offers too.
And so you have been managing her business. She should be modeling in magazines. She's like the quintessential elder model, don't you think?
That's what I wanted to push from day one. In fact, I don't know if we spoke about it in the show, but years ago, she was going to model for Oscar's modeling agency as an older woman. You know, I always see her as Maya Musk, Elon Musk's mom, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The L'Oreal model. I mean, she would be perfect for Chanel or those high, you know, brands. She's perfect. So yeah, I'm looking into that as well. I just needed to position in the US a little better before approaching them.
And you're now repping Jenny and Alon too?
We're talking about it, yes.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Okay, what else do you have going on?
Mm-hmm. I have the artist that you saw. I'm getting ready to do a worldwide traveling exhibit of his paintings and art. He's doing huge 10 to 20 feet mosaic art pieces that are going to be displayed all over the world. We're shooting a documentary of his whole journey as well. I'm also working with a very important journalist in Mexico City. Mostly all of my time right now is with my mother. That's my main focus at this point.
Tell me one thing that you wish that the cameras had shown about any of the cast members. Like, there's one thing, like a party that we didn't see.
Oh my God. There was an amazing time where we were at this place and Fernando was riding horses and we were riding horses and he sang with the mariachis. That was incredible. And also Oscar and I go to my brother-in-law, who's a plastic surgeon, because I'm seriously considering to reduce my boobs because I'm sick of them. They're huge and I'm sick of them and they bother me. And so Oscar and I went and I ended up doing some like under my eye Botox and a little bit of things. And Oscar was dying and he had never done it. And I convinced him and he did a little bit and it was hilarious and that never aired. And it was hilarious because he was like touching my boobs and saying, oh, so they would be like this and like this and like the plastic. So it was a very, very funny scene. What else? We did so many museums and more cultural and substantive stuff, my mom and I. But I guess that was not, you know, as fun as lighthearted. So I guess the producers decided to go on more on like, the fun.
Any person who watches the show, you can't tell me that you don't want to book a trip to Mexico City.
Exactly. And so then I've served my purpose.
You did.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So where can people find you on Instagram, Twitter, etc.?
Okay. I forgot to tell you that the cream, my mom's skincare line is about to launch. We're going to come out with a limited amount of products for the first, round. So you can find her skincare line. It's at Perpetua Skincare. My Instagram is at Doris Basuto. And then the website for the Perpetua Skincare is myperpetua.com. And my website for one of my production companies is 9-muses.com. I have an all-women's production company as well. We do documentaries. And dornbaumconsulting.com is my other website.
Well, I'm so glad I got a chance to meet you, and I'm hoping that the reality TV gods give us another season.
They will, and I'm going to tell you, you'll be in it, and you'll come, and you'll stay, and then we can fly to Acapulco and other beach cities. Okay?
Perfect. That's a deal.
The amazing Kate Casey.
I want to thank my great guests this week, Kimberly Goodman, Hannah Berner, and Doris Basuto. Remember to go to iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere. When you find my webs or my show name, make sure that you subscribe. Subscribe to the show and leave a 5-star review. I'm reading all these reviews. I love them all. I so appreciate it. And the more that you leave reviews, the more exposure the show gets. So I'm so appreciative. You can go to Facebook and put in the search button Reality Life with Kate Casey and join the Facebook for this podcast. So if you want to talk about this episode, talk about the guests, and even talk about reality shows that you're watching all week long, or maybe you want to talk about a reality show that you saw 10 years ago, jump in the group. We're talking about it all week long. You can find me on Twitter at Kate Casey. I tweet during shows and about shows during the week. And my Instagram is at Kate Casey CA. You can go on there later today and see a picture that I posted of myself with Lynn Curtin, who was on The Real Housewives of Orange County. She will be on my show next week. And also Ryan Sutter, who was on The Bachelorette with Trista. Of course, they've been married for a long time. And I've got Nick McGlashan from Deadliest Catch. I've got lots of guests coming up. And then next week, there's a new show on Bravo coming out called Texicanas, and I'm going to talk to someone from that show as well. So make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes, leave a 5-star review, join the Facebook group, follow me on Twitter and Instagram, and my website's loveandknuckles.com. And as always, I'm hoping that this week you take some time and watch some really great TV. It could be hilarious, it could be garbage, but I just want you to watch TV and report back what you've seen. Have a great week.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.